This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Welcome along to another episode of It Is What It Is. My name's Darren Harper, and joining me, as ever, is the former Leeds United, Sheffield Wednesday, England, West Brom legend that is Carlton Palmer. Hey, Carlton.
Hi, how you doing, Darren?
Yeah, not bad at all, mate. Not bad at all. Back over in Shanghai, how's it even going?
Yeah, everything's going. We're back in the swing of things now. I can't believe, like I just said to the missus, it's nearly 3 weeks we've been back already. Back into the swing of things at work. 3 weeks we've both been teetotal. So, because when I come back, I went on the scales and I put a stone on. So, it's got to go. So, I'm on that no carbs and, you know, no alcohol for 6 weeks and get myself back in shape.
Well, good for you. As always, Carlton, we've got plenty to talk about. Let's start with Leeds United. And, well, it was Swansea last night, 2-2. I mean, a tough place to go, but an interesting game. I mean, Bielsa's done very, very well since he's turned up at Elland Road. But last night, I mean, they're unbeaten throughout the start of the season. They're top. Leeds fans are thinking, well, this could be the season.
Well, you have to look at the fact that he's not brought a lot of players in. He's basically working with a lot of what was there last year. So, you know, credit to him as a coach because he's changed something around. Definitely the one thing that's standing out is the level of fitness. That has definitely been improved. But what I liked about last night's result, credit Bielsa, they were having a tanking last night. For 25 minutes, the game looked like it was going to run away from him. And he made a change after 25 minutes and said, right, I've got to do something about it. And, you know, for the first half, I would say Swansea were the better side. And the second half, Leeds could have easily run out winners. So credit the manager. He's been brave. But also, this is a good sign for Leeds. Because the team showed resilience. Twice they were behind. And they've come back at a difficult place to go. I played at Swansea lots of times. It's a difficult place to go. And let me tell you, they have invested a lot of money and are very much fancied to be in the top two. So it's a terrific result and it's a fantastic start of the season. And I think everybody's talking about burnout. Let's not worry about burnout because I tell you what happens is result team spirit, it comes around by getting results. And you find that those players who've got little niggles, when the team's winning, they're all of a sudden on making themselves available to play. And I think if Bielsa's there or thereabouts at Christmas, you will see the chairman put his hand in his pocket without a shadow of a doubt. Because, like I said, the prize in the Premier League is enormous. And if you've got a fantastic opportunity of getting there, then you have to take an educated gamble and also you've got to bring players in that can also, if you do go up, can keep you in the Premier League. So, you know, let's see and why not enjoy the ride and enjoy the optimism and enjoy the feel-good factor and enjoy the way they're playing. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, they look like a completely different team to what we were witnessing at the end of last season. Yet, once again last night, that starting lineup was only one player different to the end of last season with Barry Douglas. So he's working miracles, really, on a team that was really, really average at best last season. You know, we got all quite excited at the beginning of last season because, they were top after a few games like they are this season. But the teams they've been playing this season at the beginning, they've been playing some real top teams and coming out on top and they're unbeaten after all of them.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest with you. Ickenbottom is largely inexperienced, right? The players that they had, they weren't bad players. But I didn't, like when I went to watch him play, I watched him play against Bristol City. I didn't see a pattern. I didn't see a way of the players understanding the way that they should play. And with Bielsa, the players are understanding what he wants. They know they've got to work hard. They know they've got to press the ball. and every player knows what's required of them. So, listen, as I said, it's not rocket science to get out of that league. It's hard work and it's a long, old season. As I said, he will have to bring players in. He will have to manage the cups. Priority is to get to the Premier League. So for me, you know, winning's winning. And there's no, you know, you can't ever get away from back-to-back wins. But as you've seen with Gareth Southgate in the World Cup, when it comes to a game that's not really that important or on your agenda in terms of what is the bigger prize, then you have to rest players, right? That's what you've got to do, because they're not going to be able to play the same 11 players playing the same way they are all the way. You've seen it already with Man City. Look at the way he's resting players already. Rested Sterling, rested players who are in the World Cup, because he knows he's got a good squad and he knows that he can't play them every game now with the Champions League and whatever, because Christmas is burnout. So it's about managing the situation. And let's see, you know, they are playing a different way to last year. I looked at them last year when they started, and the pitches were nice and they were playing a brand of football. The teams would look at that and say, well, we could counteract that. The way they're playing now, they're putting teams under pressure. They're going at teams. They're putting those teams under the same kind of pressure that they were being put under when people saw they were a footballing side. They've got a mixture with it now. So I'm very optimistic. I mean, I'm looking at them now, and it's a long old season. Like I say, when you get to 10 games, the table takes shape. Let's see after 10 games. I think they're going to be a very difficult team to beat this season. But obviously, suspensions, injuries, like everybody else, is going to be a problem. And Bielsa hasn't brought in and hasn't been able to bring in a lot of players. But as I say, if the chairman's looking at this and thinking, half a chance at Christmas, they've got to go in up, I think he'll get his hand in his pocket.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Exciting times at the moment. Over the other side of the Pennines, let's just talk some Manchester United. This is an interesting one. A lot of people think that Jose Mourinho may be the next Premier League boss to leave his job. There's an interesting stat, though. He has never completed four seasons in charge of a club. He entered Chelsea's fourth campaign, but he left before Christmas. During that, it was his first spell at Stamford Bridge. He's now entering the third season that he's had with Manchester United. But they're struggling. They lost to Brighton. And it's, I don't know, has Jose lost it?
They're not struggling. They've lost one game. You know, they've lost one game. I think Jose brings it on himself with the way he is with the media. But I think there's a lot of criticism that's been levelled at him and his players. I mean, you know, hey, listen, I listened to Paul Scholes the other day, and there's no big admirer of Paul Scholes than me. I thought he was a fantastic footballer. Yeah. But now all of a sudden, he never said boo to a goose. All of a sudden, he's become a TV pundit now, and he's the most critical person in the world. You know, yeah, listen, criticism can be levelled, but it has to be fair criticism, right? They perform poorly, and maybe that's a wake-up call for them. They finished second in the Premier League behind an absolutely fantastic Man City team, a fantastic Man City team. So when people want to start criticising Jose, they've got to hold on a minute and give him, you know, we're second game in. Disappointing result at Brighton. He's had players out because of the World Cup, and he's been rested. He hasn't been able to bring players in this summer, and he made that very, very clear before the end of the season. He hasn't been able to, dabble in the transfer market as he would have liked to do. But let me tell you, don't bet against Man United. Bit still challenging for the league title just because they've lost one game early on. You know, people just go over the top. And because it's a bit like the boy Sterling, because they get a vendetta against somebody, then they start, you know, creating problems where they're not problems. But what disappoints me is ex-players. you know, when I go on TV, I talk as if I'm, you know, I would talk as if I'm in that player's shoes. Yes, you can be critical, but education critical. You know, Paul Scholes and Paul Pogba were two different types of player, right? Paul Scholes was a fantastic footballer. But let me tell you, Pogba basically, you know, was the outstanding player to deliver the World Cup for France. It's not just him. It's the team around him and the way he's been played.
Yeah, well, if Man United are struggling at the start of the season, one loss there, of course. Man City, they look like they've just started where they left off at the end of last season. They're looking imperious. And Aguero, he just seems to be on fire already.
Well, you know, the little man, he's going to score goals. I mean, it's coming out from the camp that he's got himself into the best shape he's ever been in his life. And that's ominous, because if he's fit and avoids injuries, he's definitely a 30 to 35 goal a man in the Premier League. And that's ominous for everybody else. But Pep is talking about dominance, not just winning the league last year. They haven't taken the mantle away from the likes of Manchester United yet by winning the league title once. They have to go and win it time and time again. And I know there's been a lot of criticism about the documentary, but I've watched little bits of the documentary. And you know what? I actually was quite impressed. And it actually, for the second time, probably only since I've retired, I thought, hey, I wouldn't mind being in that dressing room. You know, I looked at it. I looked at Fabian Delph, who he's not really a regular in the team, although he's becoming more. Having a go at Yaya Toure saying, no, tired if we want to win the league. And hearing the players say, basics, which the game's about, basics. Tackling, heading, running. Those are the things that win you the football games. Those are the things that win you titles. The boy Kante, the boy Fernandinho. Those are the boys who win you titles. The rest are icing on the cake. And to hear them talk about that in the dressing room and to see Pep Guardiola let them go at it. That's when I played the game. That's when I loved it. Now I go in dressing rooms now, I see players, they're frightened to say anything to each other, right? But how are you going to win a football game if you don't get after your teammate? If he's not at it, you should be able to say to him without him sulking, without him, you know, getting down about it, hey, you're not at it today. And that's why Man City were successful. Now I can see, because they've got that in their dressing room. They've got that. I seen Pep on the training field stop a training session because it was lackluster, telling them that they're not Liverpool, they're not Man United, they haven't won the title 10 years on the trot or 5 years on the trot, so they have to work hard. And I thought, hey, he's got it right there. With the players in the dressing room, he's got it right. And so it was quite refreshing. So let me tell you, everybody's got it all on the Premier League this season. It's not just about buying quality players. It's about the quality players having this about them to get onto each other and tell each other when they're not doing it.
Yeah, I've not watched the film yet. I'm looking forward to it. I am a Amazon Prime subscriber, so I will be watching it. The wife's not keen. The wife's not keen to watch it. Just talking to managers, because two managerial stories that are out really this morning. Let's start with Steve McClaren, shall we? Because we talk about a team that's had a struggle at the start of the season. Well, my God, Queen's Park Rangers have been horrendous at the beginning of the season. They've lost four on the bounce, 7-1 against one of your old teams, West Brom. They lost 3-0 at home last night, which was against Bristol City. Steve McClaren, I mean, he was favourite for the Leeds job before Bielsa was put in charge. And I think bullet dodged, I think, from a Leeds fan's point of view. It's a terrible start. He's insisting he's still the man that's going to lead them out of this.
Well, I struggle to see how Steve McClaren's still getting work. I really do. I'm not advocating for a manager to be sacked after four games like the boy Johnson's been. I mean, it's too early in the season. You've given the manager pre-season. You've allowed to bring in the players. It's too early. After 10 games, you can have a look at it. But four games into the season, no, not for me. That's crazy. But, I mean, I struggle to sit down and see. He had that spell abroad where he was successful. But back in the English league, I struggle to find, in my mind, in the last 10 years, where Steve McClaren's been successful. So how does he keep getting these top jobs? I do not know. I do not know. And it's all right him saying he's the man to turn it around and this, that, and the other. For me, the writing's already on the wall for him there because he's had pre-season with the players. They're not just getting beat, they're getting tanked.
Yeah, it's difficult to know. I mean, I was listening to...
Darren, it's not difficult to know. You need a good agent. That's what it is. That's how they keep getting the jobs. You know, you've got Sam Allardyce sat in the studio over in Qatar at the moment. And, you know, people are criticising Sam. And I keep going back to this time and time again. Hey, by the way, criticise him all you want. Show me where he's ever failed, wherever he's been.
Yeah.
And don't talk about the level of football. Even the way that Everton has started this season. For them to have a better season, bearing in mind the difficult situation that Sam took over when they come in, when he took over, right? And this is the media's perception, right? He's the boy, he's the one who signed Walcott. You know, people, when the season's finished, let's see if Everton finish in the top eight. And let's see, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking the boy Silva, and we want to play a brand of football, right? But you need to get results. It's like Sam said the other day, managers are talking about, oh, well, we'll go and have a go at Man City, what, and get beat 5 or 6-0. What a load of rubbish. Goal difference can count at the end of the season. Go there, and if your goalkeeper has to play well, your team has to play out the skins, and if you lose 1-0, it's a great result against the likes of Man City these days.
Yeah.
But you see, this is where the media have a big input, whether they like a manager and they don't like a manager. I've known Sam for years. Sam was one of the first ones to introduce all the dietitian, all the stuff that Arsene Wenger had introduced at Arsenal. Sam was doing that well before. That's why the likes of Speedo, Campo and all those players were playing for late till late on. Don't tell me Bolton didn't play attractive football under Sam with Campo, Okocha, Speedo, Davies and whatever. Sam just believes in getting the ball forward in the opponent's half and then playing from there. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that if it gets you results. Because
yeah.
We're in a results-based industry. Don't get me wrong. We like to see entertainment, but entertainment comes from, if you look at Cardiff last season, they got the ball quicker into the box than any other team. So entertainment comes from the ball being in the opponent's box and goals and scrambles and keepers making a save, whether you like that style of play or not.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You get a perception that Steve McLaren turns up, lovely guy, like the bloke immensely. Very knowledgeable about the game. But how does he keep getting jobs on failure after failure?
It is a surprise. And like you say, I mean, Big Sam could go in somewhere and do a job. And he's one of those managers that will keep you up or get you promoted. He does that. He seems to be time and time again with clubs. He seems to be a reliable. He might not be the most attractive style of football, but realistic, like you say, it's a results industry.
But Darren, why are clubs, and this is what happened to me towards the end of my career, why are clubs just singling him out as somebody to come in and resurrect the club's fortunes? It happened to me at the end. Oh, we'll get Colton Palmer in, pay him a lot of money to come in, to have a go at players, to go on the pitch and do his job and keep us in the league. Hey, listen, Sam will win you the league. He's got promotions. He will get you up there and he will get you in positions. Sam doesn't play a different brand of football to the likes of Sean Dyche. They're very much similar in the way that they go about the game. It's the media's perception that influences the public.
You briefly mentioned there Gary Johnson sacked after 4 games into the season. I mean, they're talking knee-jerk, but 4 games, my God, come on, give the guy a chance.
Ridiculous. You've given him all pre-season. You've let him bring in the players. So now, after 4 games, you're going to change the manager. It's totally, totally farcical. And this is why I'm not involved in the game of football. When stuff like that happens, I look at it and think to myself, Carlton, thank God for where you are and the company you work for, and you can do the things you can. Because if you're passionate about the game, I know when I go into a football club, when I was manager of Mansfield Town or a manager of Stockport County, I've only got the players and the budget that I can deal with. So unless I get a bigger budget or I get time, I can't do anything. So if you're not given time and you haven't got the money, then the only thing is a high turnover managers, and that's what we've got, high turnover managers all the time. But it's the same managers that these clubs are then employing to go and do a better job at another club. But yet they weren't given the time at the previous club to do the job. It's just ridiculous. It's just all these agents are in with the clubs. Look at the amount the agents are getting paid in all these. You know, I just, my mind boggles with these agents, right? For the last, I'll tell you the truth. I used an agent for the first contract I did at Sheffield Wednesday. After that, I never used an agent at all. I used an accountant and a solicitor. You as a player, you can find out what the club pays as wages, and you put yourself in that bracket. And then I'm saying a club, like when I'm sat down with Howard Wilkinson, no agent involved, and Howard pays me more money because he hasn't got to pay the agent a ridiculous fee. He gives it to me, and he doesn't pay me as much as what he's paying the agent. And I'm saying the same things to him. I know what Gary McAllister's earning, Gary Speed's earning. I know what Gordon Strachan's earning. I pitched myself at a level that's reasonable. I never had an argument with Howard about that. The deal was wrapped up within 24 hours. Renegotiation within 3 years was done within 24 hours. Done, finished. No agent involved. So these agents, you look at Paul Pogba's agent now. What's he getting involved with Gary Neville for? It's none of his business. Stay out of it. Gary Neville's a pundit. He's made an opinion about Pogba, which he's entitled to. And he's coming out and saying, I wish Man United would make Pogba available. We'd have no shortage of takers. That's got nothing to do with the fact that he had a poor performance or below standard performance against Brighton on Saturday. But his agent's there because his agent wants them to put him on the market so he can get another 20 or 30 million.
Yeah, it's an interesting one at the moment. I love the start of the season because it just throws up all these different things. You expect certain teams to do well and then they suddenly don't. Other teams you think they're going to struggle and then they're suddenly doing really, really well. Before we move on to other sport, Sheffield Wednesday, they've had a difficult off-season. I think a lot of Sheffield Wednesday fans are not expecting much this season. But it's been a tough start for them. But some good news is that they were out of that financial fair play. So maybe that, you know, that with those sort of like financial strings around them being loosened, things may get better over the course of this season for them.
Well, I haven't spoke to the chairman. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I don't really. The chairman doesn't know anything about football. And I'm being honest. The people that he's employed around him to give him advice about football aren't the best people. And you can see that. You know, that was the same for the boy Fernandes at QPR. You know, I mean, he's done his belt and laces with QPR because of the wrong advice again by agents. By agents. So I think Sheffield Wednesday, they went for it. They paid a lot of money out. They've still got players there, you know, the likes of Taylor and the boy from Norwich. They're on 35, 40 grand a week in that league, and their legs are gone. It's a problem for them. So I think they've got I think the chairman's saying this season, you know, we've had a go at it a couple of years. We're going to consolidate this season and have a look at it. Maybe, you know, they're trying to get one or two players out and utilise the loan signing. Again, the manager, it come from their agency. You know, I'm not saying I won't give him a chance, but I don't know of him. I don't know of him. So, you know, it's a strange one. you know. It's a really strange one.
Yeah, it is. It is. Let's just move on to some boxing because it looks like Tyson Fury is going to be taking on Deontay Wilder. We're not sure if that's going to be hosted in a Nando's just yet, there's a possibility. But mouth-watering fight, Fury coming back, and it's exciting. British boxing at the moment is just very, very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, there's two stalls on this, right? Fury's having a go at Anthony Joshua for not fighting Wilder, right? First and foremost, like everything is a business, right? If you know, Fury knows the business and he knows what he's doing, right? What is Wilder bringing to the table? Nothing. He's bringing a belt. He fights in front of low crowds. His top purse, I believe, is about... I believe it's about $2.5 million. Joshua flights in front of 90,000. Average purse between 15,000 and 20,000 pounds. What they did is they offered Anthony Joshua a guaranteed purse, but they wanted to control everything. Look at Tyson, he's having to go to America. Why should AJ go to America to fight Deontay Wilder, give him a lion's share of the purse, go in his backyard, and he's bringing the money to the table? So Joshua, stand firm. So there should be no criticism about Joshua. It's business. It's all right saying the best fight the best, but would you, if you're in the position Joshua's in, would you go, right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. There's 75 million in the pot. We'll split it half and half. And all you're bringing to the table is your WBA belt. Nah, it's not happening. What's happened here is, credit Wilder, he's got to build up his profile. So target Fury, because they know that Fury Joshua is the fight that everybody wants to see down the line. Take Fury early on. He's fought two nobodies. He's been out the ring for nearly 3 years. So it's a clever plan by Wilder. I wonder whether this might backfire on him. Fair play to Fury. You've got to say he's got a big set of kahunas. If he can pull this off after being out of the ring for as long as he has been, the competition that he's faced thus far, if he can beat Wilder in America, then I would say, well, apart from Muhammad Ali coming back and beating George Foreman, that would be the biggest upset in boxing world issue. You can't argue with Tyson going and beating Vladimir Klitschko in his own backyard. And now if he can do against, you know, Klitschko was aging, bit complacent, this, that, and the other. Not nice knocking Tyson, because nobody else did that. Credit where credit's due. But if he can go in against a current champion who's been busy, who's got an unbelievable knockout ratio, people can say what they like about who he's fought. He fought a live opponent in Luis Ortiz. And even though Luis Ortiz nearly had him out of there, he still came back and found that punch. So it's mouth-watering. I want to see if Tyson can do it. I'm going to be behind Tyson. But I think, if you're asking me as a betting man, I think Wilder knocks him out. But if Tyson was to do it, well, that's it. You see the Wembley showdown with Anthony Joshua, and now he's got something to bring to the table. If Wilder wins, right, again now he's raised his profile, because this fight is going to be pay-per-view. It will be screened in the UK on BT Sport, so it raises his profile. He then can come to Anthony Joshua and say, okay, I can have a better share of the purse. Now, if it was me, I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have done what Floyd Mayweather did and said, right, you're calling the shots. You're the champion. This is what I would have done if I was Wilder. I would have said, right, I'll take you on, AJ. I'll take my 5x guaranteed purse. And if I beat you, then I'm calling the shots. That's if you really fancy the chance of beating AJ. So what he tried to do by doing the stuff with AJ is cash out with AJ, win or lose, right? He's not taking the gamble of going and saying, I'll come over to the UK, You've got the three belts. You're bringing the lion's share of revenue to the table. I'll come and knock you out and I'll take it from you. Klitschko did it. Fair play to Klitschko. Klitschko come over and said, right, I fancy I can do it, so I'll come. They agreed the terms. Okay, the terms were 50-50, but Klitschko give AJ the chance. So why not give him the 50-50? So let's see what happens. I'm looking forward to the fight because the one thing about this boy Fury, right, he can box, he can move, and he's got a long reach, and he's big. And I've said a big heavyweight will always beat a small heavyweight. So if he's giving away, I know for a fact, if Wilder's giving away 3 stone to Anthony Joshua, it doesn't go 6 rounds. Joshua knocks him out. If Wilder, if Fury can use his weight advantage, his beautiful boxing skills and his jab, I can see him taking Wilder over the distance. What a fantastic then fight we'll have at the end of 2019, Fury v. Joshua. Massive. Or Fury v. Wilder. Oh. Massive.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Whichever way it turns out, there's no doubt about that. Exciting times in British boxing. Carlton, thanks very much for your time again this week. Always a pleasure. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you very much, Darren. Take care.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.